Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much, Keith, for that testimony. You know, what Keith said is really true. It always gets worse before it gets better. You know, it really always gets worse before it gets better. And I share that with Keith because even when he was in Florida, he would, you know, sometimes call me and we would just pray on the phone because he would, you know, go through some dark period of his life. And we would just get on the phone and start praying for each other. And I remember a few times he would call and say, you know what, I just want to give up. I just want to give up. And yet he didn't, because we continue to pray. And I believe it is the prayer. And that's why I believe Keith is really a strong prayer warrior because of that. He never gives up, even though at times he wants to. But he continues to pray. He continues to press through. It gets harder. And eventually, you know, God breaks through things. And he and I always have some good time together praying. So I always appreciate that. So if you have your Bible or your notes, if you can turn to your middle section of your notes, I just want to share with you something real quick here. Without belaboring the time, I've got a few minutes left. You know, all of us, you know, really want a robust prayer life. I know I do. And I know you do. I mean, if you ask, you know, all the Bible-believing Christians, they will all acknowledge that prayer is critical. Prayer is not only critical, but central to the experience, life. It is central to experience a vibrant, victorious walk with Jesus. You gotta have prayer. If you don't have prayer, our Christian journey will be dull, won't be vibrant. At times, it won't even be victorious. It is critical for all godly people, all men and women of faith, all people who want to be blessed by God. They must have a profound practice of prayer in their life. Throughout history, that's what you see. And without the passionate plead, without the passionate prayer, our journey will be so difficult and so hard. And that's why when you ask all the Bible-believing Christians about their prayer life, they will all confess that they wish they can pray more, because I do. I wish I can pray more. I feel like I don't pray enough. Even people who spend hours in prayer, if you ask them, they will say, I just wish I can pray more. But the question is, why don't we pray more? We wish we could pray more, but why don't we pray more? Why don't we develop a passionate and profound prayer life? What is hindering us? What is stopping us? We all know we should pray more. We all want to pray more. But why don't we? Well, there are many reasons, and there are endless reasons as there are endless responses. However, when I reflect upon my life, I can come up to one reason why I feel like at times I don't pray more. At times why I think that prayer doesn't work. See, sometimes when we pray, we don't hear answers from God. And so what's the point of praying? Why should I pray at all if God doesn't answer or respond back to me? And the truth is sometimes, if not many times, when we pray, we feel like our prayer just hits the ceiling and falls right back down to us. We feel like it's such a difficult time to pass this boundary, this invisible boundary, somehow to reach God's throne, to reach God's ear. We all want a vibrant and victorious life, but what's hindering us? And because of these hindrances, sometimes we just find ourselves asking the question, why bother to pray? But may I give to you, as I search the scripture, I realize that there are at least 7 hindrances that stop us from having answered prayer. 7 things that we do or do not do, if you will, that make our prayer life ineffective. So if we want a victorious prayer life, if we want effective and vibrant prayer life, recall these 7 hindrances. And let me run through them really quick. 7 of them. First one. The first reason why we don't have answered prayer is very simple. We do not ask. Right? We do not ask. We do not pray enough. James chapter 4 verse 2 says this. You desire, and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. See, one of the main reasons why we don't get answered prayer is because we just do not ask. Prayer is asking. See, prayer is not thanksgiving. That is something else. Prayer is not singing. That is something else. Prayer is not adoration or worship. That is something else. Prayer is not even confession. That's not prayer. That's something else. See, those things are something that we should do, but it's not prayer. Prayer is simply defined as asking. That's prayer. One of the reasons why we don't receive answer prayer is because we do not ask God. Sure. You know, we dabble in prayer a little here, a little there. We dabble it, throw up little words here and there. You know, but all of, and in our mind, we wish that something will happen. In our hearts, we hope that things would happen. But wishing and hoping is not prayer. We never ask. And that is what James is saying. We desire. That is, we wish and we hope. But all those wishing and all those hoping never give cause for us to bow our knees and ask. And so what do, according to James? Well, James says, instead of lifting up our hands to God and surrender to His will, instead, we take matters into our own hands. We do things by ourselves. We murder, James said. We covet. We fight. We quarrel. We try to manipulate things and work things by ourselves. But we never ask. We do everything, but fall short of asking. And why do we need to ask? I mean, after all, the Bible says that God knows what we want and what we need even before we ask. That's in Matthew chapter 6. So why bother to ask? Well, the Father knows. That's true. But we need to know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, James says in chapter 1, verse 7. It comes from Him. And we need to know that. Therefore, we need to ask. These good gifts does not come by chance. These good gifts does not come by coincidence. Or as my wife liked to say, coinkydink. It comes from the Creator. And that's why we need to ask. And that's why He wants us to ask. See, many years ago, when I was a young Christian in college, my church was having this revival meeting. I think about 3 or 4 days revival meeting. And they asked this guest speaker to come. And as he was coming, he brought with him a whole bunch of t-shirts. I love it. It was red, blood red color t-shirt. It looks so cool. It has, you know, writings on it, Jesus. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember I loved that t-shirt. And as he was teaching and speaking, he would ask questions. You know, and I remember all of us would raise your hand and want to answer, because if he calls and you answer correctly, he gives you a t-shirt. That's a great way to get involvement, right? And I remember he would ask, and I'm like, I want to answer, I want to answer. But he always picked the young kids, you know? He never really picked the college student. He was picking the young kids, and he was giving them t-shirts, and I wanted that t-shirt. And after he finished that day, I came up to him, I looked at him, people were crowding around him, not many, but they were just talking to him. I just looked at the t-shirt, I really want it. I didn't say anything, so I left. The next day, I went back for the revival meeting, and I saw one of this church member, Grace, Arthur's wife, you know him, she was wearing that red t-shirt. I looked at her like, what? How did you get that t-shirt? I don't remember him calling on you. And you know what she said to me? She said, I ask him. You ask him? Yeah. Ask and you shall receive. Her exact quote. Ask and you shall receive. Of course, you know, Matthew 6 talking about ask for righteousness. But she quoted, ask and receive. And I'm like, oh man, I should have asked. So that day, I came up to him and I asked for a red shirt. And he said he doesn't have any more. Oh, darn. I missed my chance because I didn't ask. See, a lot of times we don't have things because we forget to ask. We want it. We hope. We desire it. But it all falls short of asking. Brother and sister, many times we need, and our desire, our wants, our needs must bring us to our knees, because we don't ask. We don't get. Let me give you the second thing. There's a second hindrance to our prayer. Second, we have the wrong motivation. Not only do we not ask, but sometimes when we do ask, we have the wrong motivation. James chapter 4, verse 3 states that you ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly. You ask to spend it on your own passion. So we do ask, but the Father does not answer this prayer in the affirmative because we have the wrong motive. We want to ask and we want this thing just to fulfill our own passion instead of fulfilling God's purpose. You see, the gift that God gives us does benefit us. That's true. For sure it does. But He gives us gifts so that we can benefit others. So that we can build others up. So that we can be a covenant blesser. Think about all the gift that God gives you. He wants you to do something with that gift. He wants you to bless others with that gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says that God gives us gifts so that we can edify one another. We can edify the church. That's the reason why He answers our prayer. So that we can lift each other up. In Ephesians 4:28, the Bible says that God gives us the ability to work, to make money. For what purpose? So that we can share with those who are in need. You see, it's always giving. God always gives to us so that we can give it out to others and to help others grow. The gifts that He gives us is benefit us as we benefit other people. I love the story of Solomon's formal years. It always moves me. When Solomon first became king of Israel in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Bible said that Solomon loved Yahweh and walked in the statue of his father David. So Yahweh came to Solomon in a dream at night, and He asked Solomon, and He said to Solomon, "Solomon, ask what I shall give you. The checkbook is open. Ask whatever you want. I shall give it to you." And Solomon could ask for anything he wanted. And if that was you, what would you ask for? If God came to you and said, "Ask whatever you want, I will give to you," what would you ask for? You know what Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom, the Bible says. He asked that he would have an understanding and discernment. He asked for wisdom, not for himself, but he wants this wisdom so that he may rule over Israel justly and righteously. He asked for wisdom so that he can judge God's people in the right way. Listen to Solomon's prayer. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 says this. Solomon talked to God, praying to God. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" He's asking that for himself. He's asking these gifts so that he can bless others, bring other people to God. Solomon's prayer for wisdom was so that he can use that gift, not for his own lustful passion, but that he could provide for God's own people. That was his motive. It was just and pure. And listen to the response of Yahweh in the sacred text. Yahweh says this. The Bible says this. "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked, and God said to him, 'Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or life of your enemy,'" that is, for your own passion, "'but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your words. But behold, I will give you wise and discerning mind, but I will also give you what you have not asked for, riches and honor, so that no king shall compare with you all your days.'" You see, brother and sister? Because Solomon wants this gift of God so that he can bless God's people, God gave him more than what he asked for. Because in Solomon's heart, God knew that whatever God gives him, even riches and wealth, he will use that to lead and govern God's people. If our motive is to be a covenant blesser, if our motive is to edify and build people up, God always answers those prayers. But our prayers are hindered when we ask to feed our own lust for passion. Let me give you a third reason. Third, we have an improper relationship. The reason why our prayers are hindered is because we have an improper relationship, more specifically, improper relationship with our spouse, our wives, our husband, but mainly our wives. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, or listen to this, it's in your note. Likewise, husband, live with your wives in an understanding way. Show honor to the woman, as she is the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of grace and life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You should underline all that stuff. See, the wife, Peter said, is the weaker vessel. In my opinion, not because she's physically weak, not because she's emotionally weak. She's the weaker vessel because in her role as the wife is the role of submission, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The one who's weaker is the role of one who submits. And you men are not to take advantage of that, Peter says. You need to treat her as an heir to the grace of life. Instead, honor her, Peter says, or else your prayer may be hindered. That is so powerful to me. I will never forget. When I read this verse, I kind of chuckle because of what happened, I think it was a year back or something like that. One day I was so angry with Dawn. I was so angry with her. I can't remember what it was. I just remember I was really angry with her. And we're on the phone. I'm just like so angry, you know. I'm just angry with her. I was talking to her on the phone. Just so angry with her. I don't know why. I don't know what she did. I was just angry with her. And, I exchange words that are not becoming of Christian. I don't remember what it is, but I just know it's not a very Christian-like. And if I would tell you, you'd be shocked. What? You said that? Yeah, something I'm not very proud of. But Dawn is a smart and wise girl. She cracks me up. She waited a few minutes later till I calmed down in my right reason. And then she texts me this Bible verse, highlighted. I saw that and I just started laughing. I laugh because she's right. I laugh because she is correct that God would not honor my prayers if I do not honor her. You see what I'm talking about? See, I opened my journal later on that time and I jot this thought in my journal just to remind me of the day. This is what I wrote. If you humor me, this is what I wrote in my journal. If I have to choose between praying to God or taking care of my wife, when we are having a dispute, I need to take care of my wife. The wife comes first. Only then will God honor and answer my prayer. It made me think. My conclusion, I continue to write in my journal, my conclusion, stop yelling, be patient, slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to love. Father, please help me. Amen. I wrote that in my journal. And I really mean it. Because if I don't take care of my wife, and I'm having that quarrel with her, my prayers are hindered. Our prayers are hindered because of how we treat our spouses. And if I may add, it goes both ways. Yes, Peter's talking about the husband honoring your wife. But if I may be so bold as add, it goes both ways. Wife, you need to honor and respect your husband so that your prayers may not be hindered. Why sometimes God doesn't answer your prayer? Check your relationship with your spouse. Is there something wrong there? Correct that. Let me give you the fourth thing. Fourth, sometimes our prayers are hindered because we do not keep the commandment. Capital T-H-E, the commandment. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 to 22 states this. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we will receive from him, or we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Beautiful, beautiful verse. I got that written and put it on my computer as it flashes for me to remember to always, always keep his commandments so that my prayers will not be hindered. And for those of us who are in Oz's house church, we have examined this text left and right over and over. You recall this verse, right? Who is the his? Whose commandment is this? This commandment is not talking about Jesus' commandment. The his here is talking about the Father. We need to keep the Father's commandment. And once again, we do not need to guess what this commandment is. He tells us in the next verse two things. John spells us what this commandment is. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that one, we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and two, we love one another, just as he, the Father, commanded us. This is the doing that pleases the Father. Believe in Jesus, love one another. If you and I want to please the Father, what do? Believe in Jesus, let's have faith in him, become a Christian, love one another. I mean, it's the same thing I keep on mentioning over and over again, because that is the Christian life. Love one another. You and I, do you and I want a vibrant and victorious prayer life? Right here, we do two things. Believe in Jesus, love one another. So our prayers are hindered when we mistreat our spouse, but our prayers are also hindered when we mistreat our brother and sister in Christ. Let me go on. Number five. Our prayers are hindered when we do not ask in God's will. When our prayer is not in God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 states this, and this is the confidence that we have toward him. The confidence that we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. See, you and I can have this confidence that our Father will answer our prayers if our prayers are lined up in his will. And God sometimes chooses not to answer our prayer so that he can... Sometimes God chooses not to allow something that would bring him glory in order for something greater that would bring his glory to come to pass. And the Bible says he will answer. By the way, let me give you a quick way on how I do this. And some of you guys might notice. You know how to pray according to God's will? Pray the scripture. I don't even know. Pray the scripture. See, for the scripture, the Bible reveals God's will. So when I pray, I often pray the scripture. Let me show you what I mean. For example here. Don and I want to have children, as well as a few other people, you know, a few other couples in this church. And I've been praying for myself and Don, and I've been praying for these couples. And you know how I pray? When I pray, I quote Genesis 1:28. Father, you commanded us to be fruitful and multiply. That's his will. So bless the fruit of the womb of these daughters of yours. See, that's praying according to his will. That's his commandment. I sometimes pray Psalm 127, verse 3. Sorry, kind of rushing a little bit. You know, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. I pray that for these people, for these daughters of God. You know, Brother Keith and Brother Mark have been wanting to do some ministry, wanting to go out there and do some evangelistic work. They've been sharing it. And upcoming week, you know, our house church are planning to do that. We're actually planning to go out there and do some, you know, evangelistic movement. You know what I pray? I pray Matthew chapter 9. Where Jesus says, pray to the Lord of harvest to send laborers into his field. I pray that because that is his will. You see what I'm talking about? Learn to pray the scripture. Now, as you read the Bible, underline where God wants, what God wants us to do, where God's going, and pray the scripture. That's how you and I would know if we're praying God's will or not. Let me give you the sixth one real quick. We do not ask in Jesus' name. We do not ask in Jesus' name. John 14, verse 13 to 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Not I may do, but I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, he repeats again, I will do it. Twice he says that. So praying in Jesus' name. Now this doesn't mean that we tag in Jesus' name at the end of every prayer. We tend to do that, right? Oh, Father, you know, bless this food in Jesus' name, amen. You know, Father, bless this person in Jesus' name, amen. That's not what he's really talking about. It is not a formula that we tag at the end of our prayer just to make sure that, you know, we're praying in Jesus' name and Jesus has to answer. We know that's not the case. It's because when you read the book of Acts, none of the apostles pray that way. None of the apostles end their prayer by saying, in Jesus' name. So that's not what he means. So what does it mean by praying in Jesus' name? Praying in Jesus' name means you pray as Jesus' representative. You pray according to Jesus' authority, as Jesus' representative. Because this is what Jesus would do. Kind of back in the older day, you know, when someone comes and says, stop in the name of the king. Or, you know, do this in the name of the king. Because that's what the king would have done. That's what the king would have wanted. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we pray according to what Jesus would have done. Continuing his ministry. And let me give you the last thing that hinders our prayer. Seventh, our prayers are hindered when we have unconfessed sins. Our prayers are hindered when we have unconfessed sins. Psalm 66, verse 18 and 19 states this, if I have cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended the voice of my prayer. See, if we keep iniquity in heart, if we cherish iniquity in heart, God won't listen. Now, this is not talking about the sins that we commit here and there. You know, it happens. Just confess it. He's talking, the word cherish there has the idea of we clinging on to sin, reveling in sin. We know it's wrong, but we keep on doing it because we like it. We rationalize sin, make an excuse for that sin. Those kind of sins that in our heart cause our prayer to be hindered from God. Seven things. I hope you take the time to take a look at those 17. Seven things. Meditate on this. In the back of your bulletin, in your notes, there's some questions that allows us to reflect more on those seven things. And I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward for this church to really move forward as we spend our time in prayer. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much, Father God, for allowing us to enter your throne. The author of Hebrews says, Lord God, that we can boldly approach your throne with confidence because of what Jesus has done. Paul also said, Lord God, that you have given us access to the Father. That Jesus has given us access to the Father, that we can come before him, make our requests known to him. And it's amazing to us that we have that ability as a child to approach the King of Kings, the Creator of all things, to make our requests known to you. Let us not take this lightly. And in the weeks to come and in this year, Father God, help us to have a passionate, a vibrant prayer life, Father. That we may pray daily, that we may pray persistently, that we may lift each other up in prayer. And then we can just step back, Lord God, and watch you move. So help us, Father God, to come before you. Cleanse us, Lord God, of all these hindrances. That we may stand, Lord God, before you. With bold confidence, knowing that you would answer our prayers as we ask things in your will. This we give thanks in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.